Well, as traders brace for a fully-fledged currency war following a slide in China's yuan past the 7 against the dollar mark, which raised the prospect of policymakers allowing the exchange rates to weaken to remain competitive, we've had a flight to safety. The yen, dollar and treasuries all continuing to strengthen as things heat up. But interestingly enough, Bitcoin climbing past the $11,000 level for the first time since mid-July as well. And joining me in studio to interrogate the recent surge, co-founder and CEO of VALR.com, Farzam Ehsani. Thanks so much, Farzam, for joining us in studio this evening. So it's interesting because one would think that it's a bit counterintuitive. You know, you would have thought that the biggest cryptocurrencies wouldn't fall into a safe haven basket. It would fall into the risky assets category because of the sheer, I guess, speculative nature of cryptocurrencies. To what extent is that assumption becoming the furthest thing from the truth?
Yeah, I think it's proving itself a little bit that Bitcoin is an uncorrelated asset. So, and cryptocurrencies overall, you know, today nearly 10% up. Bitcoin hit the 180,000 Rand level today as well, which is a significant level. And when you look at cryptocurrencies, they're still very young, only about 10 years old. Bitcoin started in 2009, and the other ones have started as well. We've got thousands of them, but really there's a convergence right now we're seeing towards Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Out of all of cryptocurrencies, the market cap of about $310 billion, Bitcoin accounts for over 65% of that. So really when you think about what's going on in the crypto world, you're seeing a few factors that are at play. Number one, as I said, is the uncorrelated nature of this stuff. Secondly, is the fact that this is the first time that human beings have been able to hold a digital asset without taking on counterparty risk. Mm-hmm. So you can really take on your own financial sovereignty. Then the third thing is that regulators around the world are starting to become more educated, understand the crypto asset industry a little bit better, and are starting to put regulations in place.
With that happening and that kind of evolution coming through, is do macro issues then start to drive Bitcoin, other cryptocurrencies as well, more so?
You know, it's still very early. It's difficult to say for sure. So right now we've seen that they're uncorrelated. At other times and other jitters in the market, you've seen Bitcoin go down. But it's very difficult to distill what are the actual impact and factors that are actually influencing Bitcoin's price.
Okay, so what's driving things right now? As we say, moving to $11,000. And some commentary has been that there's a lot of positive dynamics that have been fueling the move higher. So what are those?
So when you look at the fact that what I told you about regulations coming into play, and you're also seeing a lot of institutional interest coming into this space. Institutions have been waiting for regulators to kind of come to the party and say, it's okay to enter this space. We're not quite there yet, but more and more preparation is being done. So we at Valor.com, we're seeing many interesting parties or interested parties that are coming to our platform every single day, from institutions to individuals, and it's showing that there's a lot of interest still. And if you look at the fact that very few people still today own cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. and the fact that it's only $310 billion when you're looking at a gold asset class of $7 trillion, you can imagine that there's a huge amount of space to grow. Now, it's not going to be through the supply because we know Bitcoin is constrained in supply. So if you look at the economics of it, there's only one way for Bitcoin's value to grow, and that's through price.
Okay. Having said that, is the extent of the gains that have come through so far warranted, given the demand dynamic at play? What are you making of current valuations?
So a lot of people still think it's very undervalued. So if you look at an interesting statistic is if you actually took the market cap of gold and you looked at the market cap of Bitcoin, the value of gold and the value of Bitcoin, and you equated them, so Bitcoin increased to gold, you're looking at Bitcoin around over $400,000. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen immediately, and there's going to be a lot of volatility, and Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies still need to prove themselves. But it's a very, very young asset class that's very, very undervalued when you look at other asset classes globally.
Okay, so those throwing out the prospect of Bitcoin hitting $12,000 very soon, not too far-fetched.
Not at all. I mean, the all-time high was about $20,000. That was hit at the beginning of 2018, end of 2017. Many people think that the price is going to go far outstrip that. But again, I would like to advise all viewers always, it's a very volatile asset. So it's very, very prudent to take it within its context and not put your entire portfolio there.
Well, for those with short-term memories, proving that volatility, I guess, is the kind of sell-off that we saw in the July period that was triggered by lawmakers questioning Facebook's plan to create its own cryptocurrency, the Libra. Where is that in the works, and how do you see that shifting market dynamic?
Facebook is a centralized institution, and therefore is at the beck and call, effectively, of lawmakers around the world that are able to penalize it if it misbehaves, etc. Bitcoin and decentralized cryptocurrencies have no headquarters, CEOs, or anything of that nature. So really, they are both called cryptocurrencies, but one is very much a centralized asset, and another one is a decentralized asset. And my view is those are going to be divergent over time.
Well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Razam, for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that's the co-founder and CEO of Valour.com, Razam Ehsani.